the team that never lets you down. We're the only team old Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club. Your host today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. Good morning all, how are we this morning?
Good, thank you.
Very
good,
well,
thank
thanks you. Guys.
Craig, can you tell us what's on the show this morning?
Yeah, on the show this morning we look at AFL and Blues news, who's putting their hand up from the reserves and look back at the game against the Lions. We'll preview the game against the Bombers tomorrow night.
Tomorrow afternoon.
1:20, I think it is.
Yeah, something like that.
he's not up and about.
Oh, I am up and about. Trust me, I'm just getting keen.
What else we got on that?
Special guest live interview today is 1995 Premiership player Glenn Manton. We cross live to our great mate, the hyphen David Rees-Jones, for the much-anticipated shirt front, provide information on WA's Blues events and anything else in footy that we can squeeze into this hour.
Thanks, Craig, for that. So, Mel, as I always say, we can't do this show without our sponsors. Who we need to thank?
We thank WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group.
Thank you for that. And as I always say, without our sponsors, we couldn't bring you this show, so thank you very much to them.
No, we can't.
Craig.
No.
Blues news.
Mel.
No, Craig. Blues news. Wow. What have we got in Blues news?
Okay, we've got a little bit about this week. Carlton, and I'm sure you'll be upset to hear this, that the Carlton Football Club can confirm after 12 years on the board and 8 years of those as the president that Mark Lugiadice will conclude at the end of the 2021 season. So, look, he has been good for the club with what he's done over his tenure there. Taking over from him would be Luke Sayers. By all reports, he's very, very well groomed for the job with connections and he's with his employment and what he's been able to achieve in his, like, with his contacts.
He was CEO of KPMG.
Yes.
He did that for many years. Very, very astute businessman. Runs his own business now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So very, very credentialed bloke. So hopefully.
And been on the board for the last number of years as well.
Oh, I think I did read somewhere. I couldn't remember how many years. I think it's four.
This is a good thing. It's, normally we have coups and blood everywhere in our we have a new president coming. So
Shuffle.
This is a seamless integration for him.
Yeah. Look, you've got to give Mark his due. For what he's done for the club.
Off field.
Yeah. with the development of Icon Park, we're now actually out of debt.
The support behind the AFLW.
Yeah, so what he's been able to achieve there has been fantastic. It's just a shame that he might have, at some stage, should have come out when we've been in dire straits to come out and actually make a statement similar to what Eddie Maguire does at Collingwood.
Not his character or personality.
Yeah, it's probably, it's not, but it's...
We've all met Mark, and he's a very reserved, you know, and doesn't like the limelight, so...
No, he's a big times. Carlton person, too. Yeah. Like, he's a very Carlton sort of, he's one for the fans and that as well.
Like, the times he's been over here, we've met him, had a beer with him, seems a nice bloke.
Mm-hmm. Brownie's best mate.
So, and also on the other end, the rumours floating around the board is that Chris Judd will stand down at the end of the year as well due to his business commitments and family commitments. So that'll be a little bit of a loss there, I think. But
they're also saying Jeannie Pratt may step down as well.
Yes, Jeannie Pratt's another one. Yeah, so that'll be a bit of a... bit of a loss as well, as long as she still sticks in there financially.
I think it's pretty sad losing Juddy after all these years.
Yeah.
And just to have the final closure, I guess, for him to leave the club is just...
coming through.
Yeah, who we got coming through?
Is a little Juddy.
Oh, yeah, little Oscar Judd.
Little Oscar Judd looks really good.
How many Judds are there now?
Three.
Three?
I think four. There was four.
Was there four, is there?
No, okay.
There's a few of them. I think there's more than one son, isn't there?
Yeah.
She's got twins, and then she's got Oscar, and then she's got a little girl.
No, she had Oscar, then the twins, didn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Oscar's the oldest.
Yep. So, and by all reports, he's a...
He's a star
jet
in the making.
Well, they'll say also a little bit of father-son stuff during the week with young Kuda kicking 11 goals in the under-11s.
I did read that, yes.
Gee, that was,
what a champion.
That was good to see. Just on the injury front, expect to see some familiar faces back this week. Jack Carroll is Tom DeConinck and Nick Newman and Luke Parks are all four that should be back out in the track, hopefully, playing VFL this weekend, but I haven't actually seen the VFL side yet, so I'm...
Has it been announced?
No, because they both play tomorrow. So you won't get it until tonight.
So we still don't have the team.
Yeah, so...
What do you guys think about that? Shouldn't we get back to the old days where
the
teams
are out
on
Thursday night?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Look, High Director of Football Performance Andrew Russell has confirmed that all four should play this Sunday, so... Getting DeConinck back.
Oh, that's huge.
Get back. He'll probably take a couple of games in the twos to get going. Also, they're saying that Jack Silvani should be right to go. I think all Jack had to do was get through training Thursday night, and he was going to be able to be past fit for Sunday.
Will he slot back into the first side, or do you reckon he'll go back
through the resis? I'm not sure what they'll do with Jack. Whether they
straight back in,
if he shoulders right, the only thing is, I know I've done my shoulder 12 times, and they're awful things to get right. If it's going to take a week extra just to make sure, I'd rather give him the week extra.
If he's ready to go, get him in.
Yeah,
I reckon get him running, get him out there.
On the other injury news too, I seen film clips on Facebook the other night of young Charlie Curnow running around, kicking goals, jumping fences, which I don't think was a good idea.
Was that for a night spot or something, for a nightclub? Or
probably, mate.
Yeah, but it was actually good to see him running around and actually kicking. He actually looks like, and by all reports is that his knee's pretty strong. So hopefully that's going well, that we'll get him back as well. Sooner than later. On Sunday, Jacob Weeding will run out for his 100th senior appearance, which is an awesome effort considering, what is he, 23 years old?
Yeah.
So the only other one to do that was, I think, was Wayne Harms. So he's in some elite company there. So, again, Weeder's come out and said, look, he's not too concerned and about personal success. For him, it's all about team success. And he come out and said that for us to stick fat, that they are trying, and they more than anything want this team success. So it's just
watching his highlight reel of his 100 games. Oh gosh, it gets you so excited. I was like, wow.
He speaks really well too. Like in his press conferences and stuff, he's very open and honest about how he believes the team is going and how the side is going.
He's got a really humble demeanour as well, kind of like Simo, that quiet, reserved, which,
So, and then look, there's been a little bit of talk this week about T making a stand and sacking a few, but in his interview, I think it was yesterday, he basically come out and said that he's not one to make statements by dropping people, that they will pick the best 22 for the Carlton Football Club. So we've just got to take it from him and the selection committee that they're picking a team to win. And I don't care if they don't win another game for the year. Essendon.
Just beat Essendon. Yeah. I was going to say, what are you on about?
Just beat Essendon. So
I couldn't agree more. We've lost to Collingwood. We lost to Richmond. So we have to win
this
one. Just a non-negotiable.
Yeah, so... But that's it for Blues News.
Okay.
Yep. I think...
One thing. We had Abby McKay on last week, and if you remember, we asked her, what is she going to do? Do they go back to the VFLW? Well, I'm not sure if you noticed this week.
She's playing four
big ins.
Grace Egan.
For the girls.
My girl, Grace.
VFLW. His girl, Grace. Last week was Katie Loring.
I know. He's just...
No. I told you after I said that I said it just so... to push at, not to upset Abby.
Anyway, the girls play at 9 o'clock our time. They play against Essendon out at Windy Hill. And the four big-ins are Grace Egan, Abby McKay, Charlotte Wilson and Daisy Walker. So there's some four big inclusions for the girls.
Yes.
So there you go. So thank you for that, Craig. Mel, we got anything in AFL news?
Yeah, well, we do have. We've got the round 11 and 12 fixtures are now all locked in it's the Sir Doug Nicholls round is confirmed. We have, for round 11, we play Sydney at the SCG at 3:20. And on Sunday, the 6th of June, we play West Coast at the MCG at 3:20. This will actually be our 6 weeks at the G, that we would have played six games at the G. So, with these fixtures. So
we haven't won one there
we
yet.
Haven't no, won we haven't. Yet. No.
Getting a bit concerning.
Yeah.
And obviously there's quite a few buys for that season. Geelong get a buy, Gold Coast, Greater Western Sydney, Hawthorn, North Melbourne and Port Adelaide all have buys. Round 11. Yep. That's
You're right there, Mel?
Yep, I'm right. That's okay. Round.
You're fresh as a daisy this morning. What's
I
the
am. Okay. So then I just want to touch on something that popped up during the week. And it's Jacinda Barclay. I don't know if you guys actually know the story. AFLW player.
Yes.
Who?
Giants.
Yes, yep. Giants, who succumbed to mental health battles back in October.
Yep.
She was only the age of 29. She was the first player to actually donate her brain for CTE, and it's actually come out that the damage has been found similar to American rules football player.
Yep. Oh, really?
So the connection between the knocks and the injuries and mental health is just becoming more and more prominent. Yeah, so at least we now have some research to, like, hard, concrete evidence and from the research that's been put into place. So a little bit sad, but at least with moving forward with everything and testing that is now being done, hopefully we can rectify things before they get to this level.
Yep.
Hope so.
Yes. And all the talk about 12 days, is it long enough? I want to play in seven. There you go. That's telling you that they probably need longer, but who knows?
Yeah.
And, guys, I just go back to Chelsea Randall.
Yeah.
Just before her grand final, what she sacrificed, and just to go, no, this is right. This is the right thing to do for my health.
Yep.
And you know what? If it's another 2 days, if it's 14 days, guys, in the scheme of things, what means more, your family or football?
Yeah, they brought it up. The talk at the moment is about having a week off before the grand final, just in case someone gets concussed.
I did see that come through, yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, the AFL have come out and said no, won't happen
this
year.
Yep.
They still want that week after their home and away season. So the worst thing is what Nick Riewoldt has said, that if someone gets concussed in the preliminary final and feels well, they'll take it to the court.
They will.
Of course
so
they will.
Really, they should have that week off. So, because you want to get the best players out in the grand final. You don't want anyone missing.
Of course.
So we'll see what happens there. So that's all your AFL news, Al?
Well, I'm going to bring something up.
Go for it.
Yeah, one more thing that is just made headlines. It is the Port Guernsey. And I knew you guys were going to roll you because you just can't be bothered. You don't like either clubs. I get it.
Next.
But
next.
I'm just going to say Port need to get over it. There's a contract that they've signed that they can only wear it in Heritage Round, and they're trying to contest it. There is no longer Heritage Round, so to speak. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yes. So,
you know my feelings to Collingwood.
Yes. We all know.
So I definitely won't defend them.
Just burn the jumper.
However, I can't see an issue with Port wearing it
against any other side.
I can't either.
No, I can't.
I mean, it's just Collingwood being.
I know there's a contract being signed. No, Craig, there's a contract being signed.
Yeah, I know. But
however, I get it. And I can't see an issue if they wear it.
Pretty sure Port were founded before Collingwood too. So does that give them a bit of leverage?
I'm not sure about that, Jesse.
I'm pretty sure they were founded before.
So which one? Someone stumbled on a different prison first? What happened?
Well, I don't know. Choose it either way, but maybe that's something there for them.
Like, end of the day.
Anyway.
If they're going to deduct 4 points, give it to us because we need it.
I like that, Jesse.
That's true. That's true. All right, thanks for that, Mel. Well, Jesse, while you're hot after that comment, mate, we don't really want to, but we need to do the review of last week's game against the Lions.
I'm not enjoying these sort of reviews after these losses at all. I kind of feel like I'm a broken record going over the same sort of thing. We build ourselves up, we get all amped up, and then we come in a bit flat.
Yes.
And we look, we had a bit of a response. If you go off, if we're going off a week to week basis, like their cliches, we did put in a sort of response from the Port game. Wasn't that great. We had a decent first quarter, but we should have probably should have been a couple of goals ahead at quarter time. And that second quarter was that was the game there. I think what they kicked seven goals to two in the second quarter. Yep, and that's pretty much your game there. We showed a little bit of fight in the third. I think we got up to 8 or 7 points.
Yep.
There's a few little notable mentions again. Walsh, 33 and a goal, I think it was. He just accumulates the footy every single week. You'd want 22 of them on the ground.
Just touching on Walshy really quickly, did we see that? Yeah, I know we don't like to mention his name.
Kane Corns
retracted his statement on Walshy during the week.
Oh, I didn't hear.
He did. I did read that. Yeah.
So did I.
Yes.
I thought you little.
Ed Curnow was pretty solid again. I think the leaders were kind of thereabouts, but we just didn't take our moments again this week. Harry was the only one that really looked like taking his moments if they were there. I think we'd end up with six goals.
Yeah.
I was saying Stocker and Cunningham. I liked Cunningham going through the middle. It was a
bit of pace.
Yeah, a bit of pace. Mm,
bit of class. He's
got a bit of polish.
Yeah.
He has a little bit of polish. Stocker, I thought, look, I think he's more of a midfielder, but for a first game in playing in the defence, I think he even got matched up with
Charlie Cameron
and Eric Hipwood at one stage.
Correct, yep.
So
he did well. He kicked a good goal too.
And he did. Yeah, he kicked a great goal. My old man's been harping on about that. Like, what's he been doing, kicking goals to the opposition?
But he did look good, Stocker.
He looks a footballer too. He's got a bit of like an aggression about him sort of thing. But
bit of arrogance
besides that we're a little bit better than the Port game, but I think we need to not make a statement with the selections of that could go either way, but we need to make a statement out on the ground tomorrow afternoon. It's a huge game, and I think realistically if we're talking about finals and talking about being this side that's going to come up and be a riser, if we're fair dinkum, we win the next three games. It's as simple as that, even against Melbourne and Bulldogs. If you're really fair dinkum about things, I'm with you, Jesse.
You
win the next three games, because after that, if we drop the next three games, it is going to be so hard to climb up that hill back up. And it's not... I don't really want to wait and try win the last six games of the season to scrape into finals. No. I would rather be sitting here in round 17, 18 going, we're a real, real chance now.
Okay. Yep. Thanks for that,
well
Jesse.
Said, mate.
Well done. Look, we're going to go for a break very shortly, but just firstly, listeners, we've got Glenn Manton coming up after the break, and of course we've got our good mate David Rees-Jones in the third segment. If you want to ask any of them a question, please text us in on 0429 913 913. If we've got something good there that we want to relay to Glenn or to the hyphen, we'll certainly put it to air. So anyway, time to go for a well-earned break and a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to Glenn Manton. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
Hey Blue Baggers, Patrick Cripps and Darcy Vessio here from the Carlton Football Club.
Are you in the market for a new car?
Carlton's co-major partner Hyundai offers Blues members up to $1,000 cash back on any new Hyundai vehicle purchase.
For over 25 years, Hyundai has driven our club forward as a co-major partner, supporting us as players as well as you, our members.
From the Kona to the Palisade, there's a Hyundai vehicle to suit every Blue Bagger.
The Carlton cashback offer is available across all Hyundai dealerships in WA, so let us and Hyundai steer you in the right direction.
Terms and conditions apply. Head to www.carltonfc.com.au/Hyundai to find out more.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google?
Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you'll find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. Our display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2021 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers Cannington, come see us today.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. Now it's time to cross live to 1995 Premiership hero Glenn Manton. Good morning, Glenn, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. How are we?
Yeah, very well, mate.
Very well, thanks.
Mate, Glenn, before I let the panel ask you a few questions, mate, you've been a professional footballer, successful author, media personality, youth advocate, and professional speaker. That's a lot to pack in, mate. Mate, what are you up to? What are you up to at the minute?
My core business on a day-to-day level, Chris, is my public speaking. So stepping in front of all sorts of audience, be they corporate, school-based or sporting clubs, and sharing stories, evoking stories and connecting people. I'm very much a very hands-on person, so I like to really get involved very closely with my clients, and that leads to some very, very interesting discussions. So I'm very much unlike any other speaker in the marketplace. You're not going to hear a story about the greatest mountain I ever climbed or the mound of pancakes I ate one morning because I was hungover. You're going to hear some real stories from my life, and you're going to share some very, very real stories from yours.
Mate, sounds very interesting. I'll throw you over to Craig.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Craig. What have you got for me?
Mate, at the end of the 1994 season, Essendon and the wise man Kevin Sheedy delisted you. How did the path take you to Carlton in 1995? Was there someone that approached you or through management or...?
Such a long time ago. Such a pivotal time in my life. It seems like it's just irrelevant now. But at the time, as you allude to, it was a huge change of scenery for me, and one that was completely unexpected. At the time, I imagined St Kilda and or Sydney may pick me up in essentially the pre-season draft, but completely out of left field, Carlton swung in there. And before you know it, I'm at Optus Oval without even as much as a pair of football boots or a pair of shorts, because Essendon wouldn't allow me to even take my football boots from that club that were my boots. They had them caged up in the boot room. They wouldn't allow me to take my boots. I didn't have, as I said, a pair of shorts, a training top, anything of that nature. And when I turned up for the first training run with Carlton, David Parkin said, "Well, change into your gear." I said, "I've got nothing to change into." And he said, "Well, looks like I'm going to have to get you at least a T-shirt." And he threw me an old CUB T-shirt. We were right on the cusp of changing from CUB to Hyundai. Okay. And that T-shirt was probably one of the last ones in the storeroom. And it's actually one of the most prized possessions I have in terms of my career, to think that I went from one club where I was delisted, not wanted, given nothing and no leg up in any way, to another club. And they actually had to give me a T-shirt to get me started. I thought this is the sign of something much, much bigger and better to come, and it will prove to be the point.
Good morning, Glenn. It's Mel here. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Mel.
Just touching on 95, coming from being delisted at Essendon to then taking out the grand final, lows to the highs, emotionally, that just must have been a roller coaster for you.
It absolutely was, and it'd be really interesting to see if anyone else in the history of the AFL has actually achieved that. I think about that quite often, who else might have gone from being delisted essentially in the pre-season through to playing in a grand final that next year, that next calendar year, if you will. So it really was. I didn't think that Cinderella story was possible. It turned out not to be a Cinderella story in the sense that I learnt very, very quickly the actual Premiership medal, the Premiership Cup, aren't the important things that you're playing for. You are playing for the relationships that you build within the game itself and, of course, within yourself. So whilst the Premiership on the surface looks like it's all about glitz and glamour, it's actually about the hard work that people put into you behind the scenes and, of course, the work you did yourself. And I'm very, very fortunate to have a WA native, a local, if you like, in the form of Alec Eppis, who's put an enormous amount of time into me as a person on and off field. And to be quite frank, that grand final, the 95 grand final, was a real celebration of our relationship in particular.
Morning, Glenn. It's Jesse here. How's things?
I'm very well, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Obviously, it's Carlton versus Essendon this week, and you've been at both clubs. What does it actually mean to reflect back, look at this week's game, and know that you played 150 games for Carlton?
What does it actually mean? It really doesn't mean a lot. To be quite frank, from the perspective of, again, the football side of things, I just don't reflect upon my career in terms of the games that I played or the marks that I took, or this rhetoric around my performance. I look at the teams I played in, our ability to win. I would love to know the winning percentage for my career. I do not know it. I would think that it would be particularly high, and I think that's a testament to the people that I played with, their attitude towards the game, the intensity in which the teams that I played with, both at Essendon and Carlton, played the game. They're the things that excite me. So when I look at these two clubs, I just don't necessarily see myself. I see the history of the clubs, and as I said, their combative nature, their competitiveness, and the many characters that I shared the field with. And I'm very fortunate to be able to call many, many players from both the Essendon and the Football Club and the Carlton Football Club friends. And I think that is the great win out of playing professional sport or sports in general, the camaraderie and the stories you have about other people, not necessarily yourself.
It's interesting you brought up with players that you played with. We'll go back to the 95. Like, it must have been so good to play with it, especially in the back six where you've got, you had Ange Christou, Silvani, McKay, Michael Sexton, Peter Dean. It must have been great playing with those guys. And did one of those guys in particular give you some good advice or take you under their wing once you got to Carlton?
Oh, I think everyone tried to take me under their wing throughout my entire career. There was a lot of wings there. I'm a vegetarian, so I had to stay away from them. But in all seriousness, the thing that I loved about that list of names that you just shared is that each one of those people really played their role on the production line. And our back line at its best, and it was one of the better back lines, I think, in the history of the game, was a really, really considered, skillful production line. Everybody knew their role, how to play their role. Yes, Peter Dean could kick the ball. Yes, Peter Dean could mark the ball, all these sorts of things. But he was the sort of person, for example, only that you'd want really just bustling into a pack and winning the ball and flicking it out and then getting back onto his man. You know, Michael Sexton was a very good mark, but he was also somebody who could kick the ball well. But he knew when to plug in and do his thing. And that's what I loved about that back line. Each one of those people could play their role, fit into a fabric, if you will, that allowed that team, those 90s teams, if you will, for the Carlton Football Club, to have a stability down back. And every one of them, and again, I'm just talking about the back line, every one of those players could be an influential player on the day, but didn't have to be in order for the team to do well. They just had to play together, and more often than not, I feel like it did function as a great unit.
Glenn, I'm just going to move on and touch on to what you're working on now. And I've just done a little bit of research and jumped on your website. And,
that's dangerous.
Yeah. No, and I have been reading that you've been, you know, for the last 20 years, you've been travelling around the country, inspiring, educating audiences, with a unique blend of humour, passion and integrity is what you say on your little blurb. On
correct.
But main focus, I believe, is a lot of school programs that you're working on to encourage young children who are going through difficult times, youth crisis and mental health well balance. With this in mind, we've been talking and covering off over since the start of the season the importance of the concussion rules and CTE and head injury, mental health. I know your aspect is a completely different avenue, but what's your side and take on things with the head knocks and mental health issues?
Well, you've more or less thrown quite a bit of material up in the air there, so I'll pick at it as it falls to the ground. First and foremost, our emotional well-being and our psychological state, I don't think as a population, and that's global, that we're anywhere near close to appreciating and understanding how to work with ourselves as individuals and or within groups, and that obviously extends to sporting teams. And it is without doubt, and I'm more than happy to go on record saying this, it's without doubt more important than the physical self. And the teams and sporting institutions that really, really start to tap into it and make it an absolute priority are going to see great results on and off field with their players and, of course, their administration, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one point. I just don't think we're even close to really scratching the surface there. In terms of the points you raised around concussion and the ongoing effects, again, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see the true cost of the high-impact sport that AFL football is, particularly back into the 80s and 90s, until sadly some of the great players that have played the game start passing away from that era and allow their bodies to be used for scientific purposes. It's really, really important that we do protect particularly young players in the game playing AFL football. And I know recently there's been some discussion, I think it was through a Monash University testing program, that they suggested that the 12-day protocol isn't enough for AFL players. And maybe that's the case. I haven't seen the study myself, but the point that I would raise around that is that every young AFL footballer, let alone professional AFL footballer, is going to want to push back into the game as soon as possible. And if the coaching staff, the club, are supportive of that player taking some extra time and making sure that they are well rested mentally and they have recovered from head knocks, because they are unavoidable in what is a spectacular game, then that will again assist those players being protected as they move forward. I have young men in my life, my son's playing AFL football, and I just want them to be able to enjoy a game in the most robust and safe fashion as possible, and I'm sure every parent feels exactly the same way. So protecting the head is very, very important, but I think we need to continue, both in a sporting sense and scholastically throughout the community, putting more and more emphasis on the well-being of ourselves mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, he totally agree totally with you, Glenn. Mate, we've got a question off our SMS from a listener from Trent. What he's asked, and a lot of listeners wouldn't know this about yourself, but you actually competed in the four-man bobsled team, and you actually on the World Cup circuit as part of the Australian team in 2005-2006. How was that?
Well, Trent's a very knowledgeable character, isn't he? He seems to have done his research. I enjoyed my time participating in the World Cup bobsled circuit with the Australian team. It was an extraordinary experience. It was one that at the time a lot of people mocked and didn't understand why I would want to do something of that nature, but it took me completely out of my comfort zone and put me into a space that was unfamiliar on every conceivable level, and it positioned me in a particular space where I could fail. And that's a really, really challenging space. And fortunately, I failed a lot in my life, and I was very, very comfortable failing again because we didn't qualify for the Olympics. But as always, and it sounds trite, but it is the absolute truth, the failure isn't whether you actually win the race or not. It's whether you were actually competing and really developing yourself and trying to push yourself beyond what you had seen as the norm. And as soon as I'm finished with you guys today, I'm down to the Newport Athletics track in Melbourne where I live, and then off to the gym, really utilizing a lot of the skills and techniques and passions in terms of sport and preparation and training that I took away from bobsledding. So this wasn't something that I did spur of the moment and for a little bit of attention for myself. This is something that's proved to be not only exciting in the moment, but have great long-term effects. And I'm very, very fortunate that my life's been full of amazing opportunities of that nature. Yeah, opportunities that see me step out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, totally agree with you, because I think we tend to always look at the winners and not actually the development of what happens, because you actually learn more when you fail or lose than you actually do when you win, is that's in my opinion. But anyway, I
think, 100%.
Yeah, I think Jess has got a question for you, Glenn.
Please.
Glenn, I see in 2008 you took to the stage to perform in the Melbourne Comedy Festival. How was that experience? And did you meet any funny personalities whilst doing those shows?
Look, I've met an enormous number of different celebrities, personalities, however you'd like to label them, throughout my time, both as an AFL footballer and as a performer. My line of work sort of tightropes the line between comedy and storytelling, etc., etc. The show that we ran back in those days was an improv show, which was actually based on AFL football, and it was incredibly well received. And in fact, we have opportunities to play that show again in 2021. So it's a show that's been ongoing. It's had many incarnations and has literally travelled around the country. So for whatever reason, there's a little bit of a comeback and some interest in that show, and we'll be playing some shows later on this year in regional Victoria. But if there are people over in Perth who are interested in that sort of performance, then there's always an opportunity for us to fly to Perth, providing, of course, that you guys can get yourselves together in terms of COVID, because you have already ruined my Saturday night. I was heading down to the Palais Theatre here in Melbourne to see Crooked Colours, but they, of course, were in Margaret River. So, of course, my show has been damaged, most likely by the four or five people on the panel here this morning.
No, not at all. We're very clean.
Okay.
Hang on. Mel's raving at me madly. I was going to end it, but okay, Mel, last question.
One last question is,
please,
also going through with what you're doing with the schools and things at the moment, is that you begin your introduction and you don't introduce yourself for the first 20 minutes because you're trying to challenge the social media side of things with these kids. Like, what we've also covered off social media and the effects on players' mental health. Is this all the focus? Is that why you're trying to just broaden their perception of things?
You have to understand now that when you step in front of audience at a youth level, as I did yesterday, so yesterday I stepped in front of roughly 500 students in an auditorium, which is not, and I stress this, it's not an ideal scenario. You want to be working with groups of 25, maybe 50 tops, but unfortunately the school yesterday had some provisions. They couldn't change them. I had to work with what I had, as did the school itself. When you step in front of 500 students who have no idea who Glenn Manton is, and rightly so, they're completely overwhelmed with stimulus from all sorts of sources, be it online, be it in the street. They are looking for real opportunities to have real conversations without the bells and whistles. So what I do is I strip my presentations right back, and I start, more often than not now, by sharing a very gritty story. So the story that I shared yesterday to this particular audience for the first roughly 20, 25 minutes, as you alluded to, was a story about muffins. But that story... that story is actually a very carefully curated story, which turns from being somewhat flippant, somewhat eccentric, to very, very focused, and it shifts into a space where I talk about working with a young heroin addict for 4 years whilst I was playing AFL football. So whilst it starts with a little bit of flavour, if you will, and this conversation around muffins, because it was set in two particular cafes in Smith Street, Collingwood, it shifts into a very, very stark and compelling space. And that allows me, without any prompt of who I am or why I'm there, to capture an audience's imagination, build trust, and provide a space that allows them as an audience to go on a journey of really quite very open and vulnerable discussion as to who they are and what it is they want to do. Make no mistake, Mel, I don't consider myself motivational, because I think that's arrogant. I'm there to be provocational. And you laughed a minute ago when I mentioned muffins, and that's exactly what I want the audience to do. I want them to laugh and think, right, this is curious, what's coming next? But of course, they don't see what's coming next. They don't imagine that I would have worked with a heroin addict for 4 years whilst I was playing AFL football at Carlton. And so that then becomes compelling for them. That then trumps Instagram. That then trumps the internet. That then has them in the moment wanting to learn more about me. And as I said, with the confidence and the relationships that I'm able to build, it allows me to learn more about them. So that's what I do on a daily basis. I love what I do. I love sharing my stories, but more so, I love hearing the stories of the audience that I'm working with, because people in general have extraordinary stories. And when you just take a moment to pull back whatever happens to be covering them as a person, whether it's their clothing or their emotions or whatever it may be, you start to see the true person underneath, and you get a chance to learn more about them and, of course, learn more about yourself.
Thank you, Glenn. I think you're doing an amazing job and you're so inspirational.
Yes, mate.
No, thank you very much. Mate, I appreciate it.
Yep, very interesting, mate. Well, look, we better wrap it up. Mate, on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for the memories and sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as always on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Well, before I say goodbye, I will make it very, very clear that travelling over to Perth and playing in Perth was without doubt one of the highlights for me as a player, not only because of the fact that the West Coast Eagles and at times Fremantle had such tremendous teams, but because of the atmosphere that was created over in that particular part of the world. And many, many people have been generous in their time for me as a person, of course the club in general, in their supporting of the efforts that we put forward out on the field. And I'd just like to say, don't ever think that that goes unnoticed or unappreciated, because it always was. So thank you for having me today.
Mate, excellent. Too easy, mate. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
See you, mate.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Glenn Manton, everyone. Look, time once again to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we throw an Aaron Albo straight into our regular segment, The Shirt Front. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues! If it's your first home, or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441 658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
When you want the highest quality meat with friendly service and value for money, only one name should come to mind. Barbaro Butchers. It's a name renowned in WA and across Australia since 1987. Their high standards, premium products and impeccable service is what sets Barbaro Butchers ahead of the rest. Delivering the highest quality cuts of beef, pork, lamb and chicken, they can even provide catering packages to suit your needs. Drop in and see Raff and the team at 120 Cockman Road in Greenwood or call 9247 4244. Barbaro Butchers, proud supporter of Breakfast with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that bleeding blue means, as we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front. I speak, of course, of none other than the hyphen, Mr. David Rhys-Jones. Good morning, David, and how are you?
Yeah, very good. Down in sunny Tasmania. Sunny Launceston today, so...
Sunny?
Yeah.
You sure you're in Tassie?
Yeah, it is sunny down here. I brought the Melbourne weather down with me, okay. It's quite fine down here today. Yeah, all good.
So you're not going down there to watch Melbourne North, are you, mate? Oh, no, they're in Hobart.
No, I'm in Launceston. I'm in the north of the state, the good area, the good part of Tasmania. So, just down here, a couple of guys I coached years ago were involved with the footy club down here. I'm going to a past players function there today, so... have a bit of a chat and whatever, so yeah,
whatever.
A bit of fun.
A few beers.
Yeah, there'll be quite a few, I think. Yeah, they do like a beer down this way.
That's good to hear. Jesse.
Morning, Hive, how's things?
Yeah, very well, very well.
Hey, what did you make of your overall thought of the game last week against Brisbane?
Yeah, once again, had our chances. I thought we had a lot of chances, and I think that's... you know, while I say we're disappointing, I think it's more frustration than anything else. And, it's just, we get to a stage where we can see that we think we're good enough. And I think we're good enough. And, but we just can't get that score on the board, or we miss easy goals or miss easy passes. And, a few little things let us down each week and, it costs us 4 points.
Yeah, that lapse in the second quarter was the killer, wasn't it, David? They kicked 7-2. We just looked so, I don't know, we lost our shape, especially behind the ball. And as you said, those turnovers, they just kill you.
Yeah, they do. And modern football now, good teams, they'll get hold of you. You know, if you turn the ball over and don't hit your targets, then they're going to get it and run at the length of the field and score against you. And, you know, even, you know, shots for goal, you know, you just got to put them through. I know Richmond, you know, missed a lot early and were able to come back last night, but they're probably an exception to the rest of the competition at this point in time.
David, I see during the week, I think it was The Age, you come out and you firmly made a statement that it's now time for Carlton to actually make some selection statements. I tend to sort of agree with you, I think.
Sort of. Look, we've got... the one thing is we've got guys who are above 30 who are not performing, who keep getting a game week in, week out. And, you know, I did mention them. It was Murphy, Casbolt and Betts. And yet we seem to get the same young players getting turned over week in, week out. And I just think it's not doing the young players any good. And for our future, you know... Sometimes you just got to make some hard decisions and get out there and you know, get rid of a Betts or a Casbolt or a Murphy or someone or two or three of them, you know, and two out of the three of them, you know, and make a real statement. Say, well, you know, we're going to play these kids, and then, but don't just bring a Dow in or a Setterfield or Kennedy or one of these guys and put them in for a week and then dump them again. Say you've got 4 weeks. You know, you've got 4 weeks. We're going to put some faith in you, some trust in you. And I reckon that the guys would be have a lot more at ease in the way they went about playing if they had that assurance that they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be flung out if they don't have a great game. So it's, I don't know. I just think that at times you get to a certain stage and you've just got to make some hard decisions. But I did note that David Teague did say a few days later that he wouldn't be doing that. So it'll be interesting to see what the selectors do, you know, today and what teams pick later on today.
Morning, Hive. Mel here. Just touching on that, you say don't bring in Dow or Setterfield. You know, Dow had 20 possessions in the reserves and Setters had, I had it in front of me, 25, I think. Who would you suggest we bring in?
No, I'm saying bring them in.
Bring them in. Yep, okay.
Yeah, bring them in and keep them in the team. I mean, that's more what I'm getting at. You know, they're the players who are continually in and out of the team. And you know, you throw Kennedy and a few others, O'Brien and these sort of blokes, they don't get a real good run at it. You know, I don't believe in gifting people games either. But it takes a little bit of time. You know, you just can't... If you know you're going to have a bad... You know, you have a poor performance, you're going to be out that week. You know, it places extra pressure on you and it doesn't... You know, you don't feel like you've got the confidence of the coaches or the team. So, it's not a great position to be in. Now, you know, these guys were all pretty high draft picks, so they've obviously got ability. I think we need to, and you look at the teams who are putting some youth into their team, and you know, they're getting rewarded for it. I mean, even a team like Richmond, you know, they've thrown a few first gamers in this year, and you know, it's doing them the, you know, it livens everything up. It really does. But you know, we've had our problems with injuries and so forth, but you know, the form of the guys I mentioned before has not been good, and yet they seem to be you know, they seem to be in each week. And that's, you know, I'm talking about Casbolt, Betts and Murphy, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, with you would assume with TDK coming back through the with the resis this week, he'd probably be your most likely replacement for Casbolt in, say, I don't know, a fortnight's time or so after he gets a couple of games under the belt in VFL level?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you... I'd give him the one run. I think, you know, give him the one run, give him a good hit out, and if he pulls up okay after that, throw him in there, because he's a good young kid, and he's going to fix a problem. I mean, I wouldn't be looking at three or four games in the resis people. I mean, we need to get him in there as quickly as possible and get players into form. You know, I mean, a Levi Casbolt, you say to him, look, go back into the reserves, you know, kick half a dozen goals, get some confidence up, you know, just clunk a few marks, do something, and, you know, he just looks like a player, you know, hasn't got any confidence at all at the moment, and even his kicking, which had improved over the last couple of years, has gone back to where it was, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, he just looks devoid of confidence at the moment, and he's not contributing, so he needs to go back and find some form.
Hive, just on the reserves, we also had Crocker kick 7 and Parsons 5 last week.
But Crocker's not a listed player.
He's not a listed player.
No. Unfortunately, they're not our, they're not our players. Look, I mean, every player at times in their career is going to suffer a bit of a form slump, and sometimes the best thing for them is to go back into the reserves, find some form and find a bit of confidence in your ability in that. And, you know, big blokes, it probably happens to more so, I suppose. You know, if they're not clunking marks and they're confidence-type players, which I think Casbolt is, you know, he's the sort of player who could benefit from going back.
No, I totally agree, mate. Look, we've got a question off the SMS to ask you. It's from Ian. He just wants to know, what did you think of Stocker's game from last week?
Look, from a guy coming off a 38 possession game in the midfield in the seconds, I think he had 38 possessions the week before in the seconds, and being placed on a halfback flank sort of baffles me in some ways too. He's obviously coming in off some pretty good full midfield form and stuck on a halfback flank. So, once again, the selection sort of side of things does baffle me at times.
Yeah.
Other than selection, going into tomorrow's game against the Bombers, what do you think we just have to do to gel and get something happening? Because I know last week I just watched their game and I was so frustrated. I was, like you mentioned before, it's frustrating. I was actually a bit heartbroken. I was just like, come on, boys, give me something. Do you think we got a chance against the Bombers?
Oh, definitely we've got a chance. Oh, I think everyone sees we've got, you know, and they've got a pretty young team too, so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we get out there and bully them and give them a bit of a touch-up. But that's not going to be the answer to being able to compete against the big boys, which is where we need to be and where we think we are at the moment. I mean, I think everyone thought that at the start of the year, that we were now in a position to compete with the big boys. So if we don't beat Essendon tomorrow, well, you know, we it's going to be another wasted year, basically. So, must win this week and have a good win. But, you know, we've got to start being a bit more aggressive. And I think you look at the way the Tigers sort of really knuckled down last night, and they're tackling and chasing and getting numbers to the ball. And it's those little things. And I think I've mentioned it a few times this year, you know. So it's little things that you do that bring everyone can do. You can, yeah, they can all tackle, they can all chase, they can all run, they can all use their voice. They can do those little things. They're not skills. They're just, you know, that's just something anyone can do. But you've got to want to do it. And yeah, the one percenters, they need to be up high on the weekend. And you know, that just gets you into the game. It really does get you into the game. It's if your form's down or something, you know, put a good tackle and not, you know, bowl a few blokes over, do something. You know, don't just meander around a football ground and do nothing for a day and say, you know, that's a waste of time. You might as well bowl a few blokes over or do something anyway.
It's funny you're saying about them being physical, because I think that's one thing that we have to bring tomorrow. And I really think if it starts in the middle, if we can get physical and tough in the middle, because we've got the advantage with some of the bigger bodies in there, and I think if we can get in there, get it out, get it forward, at, especially with Harry in his form last week, I think that's one area that we can actually exploit Essendon tomorrow, is in the middle.
Yeah, and look, they've got some of their midfielders are in pretty good form too, so don't... Don't worry about that. That's where they're getting a lot of their drive from at the moment. So, you know, we need to have that defensive mode on when they've got the ball, because that's where we've really let ourselves down. And, you know, too often opposition are allowed to run around and get easy kicks. I mean, and it needs to start from Cripper probably, you know, from the middle. He needs to, you know, while we love what he does and the hard stuff and everything else, quite often his opponent will you know, get plenty of the ball and hurt us. So we need to be as much in that defensive mode as we do in the attacking mode. And we need to be hard at them, as you know, you said. So let's just hope that we bring a good game. We bring a good game and we can be proud. I mean, all you want from your football team is to be able to walk off and be proud with the performance that... they've put up. Whether you're good enough to win the game or not is irrelevant. You get out there and have a real crack, though. And I think that's why, you know, people like myself and Mel and most Carlton supporters are very frustrated at the moment, because that commitment and that desire just doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, mate, we better wrap it up. We better let you go back and let you get enjoy your day down in Launceston and enjoy with the past players. As Craig mentioned before, don't get on the sauce too much, mate. Look after yourself.
but, I don't think I've got any choice there.
Yeah, fair enough. But, mate, as always, thank you very much for giving up your time, because, look, I know the listeners love it, and we enjoy it as well in the studio and having that banter with you. So, as we always, let's hope next week, mate, that we're actually up and about after a great Blues win. So, anyway, thanks for your time, and as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
That's it. Go the Blues.
Thanks, Reece.
Thanks, Dave. Anyway, guys, we better wrap it up then. It's been a great show. Always thanks to our great mate, David Rhys-Jones. He's always legend. Open and honest and yep. A legend. And let's hope he's okay and can be back next week. Just a quick shout-out to Keith from the AFL Masters Radio Show. He sent us in a text saying what a great interview we had with Glenn Mannan, which I thought it was. Thank you for that, Keith. Mate, so keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old